Call the meeting to order at 6:30. Any additions or adjustments to the agenda?
Yes, we need to talk about the tire recycling.
The tire drop?
Tire drop for this weekend, please.
We can do that before we do keeper of the record. Do that between 7 and 8.
Okay.
The water department update, Steve is not here. He's got nothing to report. And the highway department update, Mike can't make it, so we're not doing that, which leads us directly to public comments.
You do what, have a written report in your minute, in your packet.
In the packet.
From
okay.
Steve, yeah.
Not break ground. Huh? Okay. So
I need to have everybody sign in.
Yeah.
Just so I know who everybody who is here, if you put your name and town. Name and town, that'd be great. Yeah, thank you.
So after that circulated, where it's public comment time on the agenda, and what we'll do is we'll circulate a second piece of paper, and anybody who wants has something to say, they will write their name on that piece of paper, and then we'll go through the list to try and
or if you
try and give everybody a chance to speak.
Yeah, if you want something to say, just sign the second piece of paper, so
right.
It only passes once.
Oh, that would work too. Good job.
Want to borrow mine?
Have arm extensions.
Yep.
Oh, shoot. Don't worry, Charlie. I messed up too. I went to North Country.
I don't know. I thought North Country was a good school.
Yeah,
well,
for me,
on the second page.
We just didn't have good listening skills. They're going to ask me questions, so I'm going to have to speak.
Okay.
I don't want
to. Oh, wait, it's going to go back here. We
yeah,
have
I need to.
Today.
Oh, sorry. Some of us didn't pay attention.
Oh, that was for 12 directions.
Go back
to the front.
Everybody's
good?
We're good.
Good.
I'll take the rest of that pad to Robert in case I need it.
Ah, yes. Okay, so we'll just go down the list, though, that everybody who wants to say something has the opportunity to do so. So, Kim, you're up.
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm here under the assumption that there was going to be a huge crowd because there was a discussion being talked about our drug houses in town.
Yep.
So I was kind of here to listen to that and add my two cents to it. But in combination with that, I'm really concerned because of also what took place at our school this in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, the people working in that building right now are terrified.
Yeah.
And I can say that we watch at lunch when we sit outside and eat a lot of traffic up and down the street here. I don't understand why some of these places are so close to this school and nothing can be done about it. I mean, we have students that can look out the window and see family members or whoever, and it just turns into, you know, trauma. It just turns into anxiety and everything else for them. And after the 2 weeks of hell that we've been put through, we're walking on pins and needles in that building, waiting to issue the job again. And I just, there's got to be some way that we can make this better, that we can fix this. Our town's going to hell with all this. And if it's legwork you need, I'm willing to help. Believe me, I'll stick my neck out there. Look at me tonight.
Okay, well, I think we all appreciate that concern. We're not unaware. Sarah.
Everything that Kim
just said, yeah.
I have a few more comments. I can't wrap my head around how it took police an hour and a half to get to our building.
Yeah.
I don't know how any of us here can fix that. It's mind-blowing to me. I don't know what can be done. And my second question was, I've missed the last few meetings. I'd like to know the update on the ordinances in town, the dog ordinances, and who we contact, because the animal control officer we can't contact her and get a timely response.
Okay, do you want to speak to that? Or?
Sure. Sarah, I laid it all out for you in an email, okay? What I told you then was that when you came to us and we identified that the town of Troy did not have a dog ordinance, then we set out to put together a
yes.
dog ordinance.
Yep, I'm not disagreeing
this,
with that.
This dog ordinance is not something that you just sort of throw together and you know, we drafted it. We had a couple of meetings. We vetted it with what was her name? Renee?
Yeah.
Felter, who's excellent, and she gave us good comments. Called the Vermont League of Cities and Towns, because the one thing that we're really struggling over is ordinance compliance. And that meant contacting and discussing this with the Vermont League of Cities and Towns lawyer, contacting the Judiciary Bureau of Vermont, attending a Vermont League of Cities and Towns training. After all of that, we came back in August and we signed off on the ordinance. And now we're in a 60-day period where the public can come and provide comments. I mean, it's just state law.
So
where we are, this board has approved it. It's now in the 60-day period, and once it comes out of the 60-day period, I don't know what the correct action verb is, but we adopt it, I think, then we can finally enforce it. In terms of the village, we're not the village, and even if we were, the village dog ordinance is incredibly dated, and so, you know, so that's where we are.
Yes, our new one has the penalty portion, you know, well defined, which along with all the work, you know, with being able to do citation, that goes along with us actually being able to write a citation. It's well defined so that we can. But we really needed that part, so that we could actually write a citation if there was a.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm not rushing you along. I just simply asked for an update.
And so what?
You did email me back, but I'm here because I've been to the village with their ordinance, and still nothing is being done. So I'm concerned that the animals in town are still being neglected and abused with nothing being done.
Do you mind if I speak?
That's just my public comment.
So the town of Troy can adopt a ordinance, and it does not cover the village.
That's correct. The village has a separate ordinance, and the village of North Troy. That's okay.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, I think it's mostly because at this point in time we have, although it's the same enforcement officer, we each have our own.
That's right. But the same ordinance is going to go into effect for both places, so it won't be wondering. So,
right.
This was approved at their last select board meeting, at our trustee meeting last week. The village reviewed it. It will be approved next month.
Oh, okay.
And now it will be 60 days after that. So we're a month behind them, but it's happening, and it's going to be the same. Everything will be the same. So we don't have, well, we're on the road. You know what I mean?
Okay.
We're trying keeping everything the same.
There.
Mm-hmm. And our old ordinance would not have stood up in court if we did a civil fine. It just, you know, it's just the old, very old one. So it's just getting it updated.
Catherine, so, that's a coaster.
If it's helpful, just one thing I would add that's happening statewide that maybe provide more support and capacity to communities around dog and animal welfare issues. So what we've heard from local animal control officers in the past is that often they, you know, there's a need, but there's no one to turn to. And the Fish and Wildlife will pass the buck to the Agency of Ag, that will pass it to the Department of Public Service, and that we've had this patchwork, and that we haven't had one central entity. And so last session, we passed a bill that establishes the agency, or a division of animal welfare at the Department of Public Service. And so that will be one point who has sole responsibility for supporting communities around issues of animal welfare. And hopefully that will help, you know, in some, you know, at least be a point of contact is responsible and obligated to respond to communities and provide technical assistance, training, and support. Because this is certainly something we know many towns are struggling with right now.
Sarita.
Yeah, thanks. I'm here because yesterday I had a traveling nurse who was working at the hospital in Newport who's been renting from me for 2 weeks. Break his contract and leave because of fear, because of the drug problems in North Troy. As a result, Vermont lost the nurse. They couldn't find anywhere else to live in Newport at short notice, and he was not prepared to live in North Troy because of the problems of all the drugs, the school issue. It was a problem. This came on top of another tenant of mine who's been here for a whole year, and he was going to stay for a second year, very good tenant. He also said he's not living in North Troy anymore, gave me notice at the end of the lease instead of continuing on, because of some drug people running behind the old North Troy Inn, coming behind to the brown shed here on Elm Street, going over to some houses and some places that are well known over on Railroad Street, coming back, using his drugs right there, 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 or 4 times a week. And he says that he's reported it, nothing's happened. I don't know.
Hanging
if you
on
get
the
to a point,
using the flavor?
Maybe using the flavor. He also pointed out the fact that the gas station was robbed a couple of months ago.
Mm-hmm.
They had fingerprints, they had the video of it, of the person, and fingerprints
mm-hmm.
on the wall. Police came, and nobody even bothered to fingerprint. You know, which was very disturbing, that it was just like, oh, well, it's happening. So it was a problem. And when you start having nurses leaving because of the crime or the perception of it, and good tenants here, you know, it's not good for the town. Because these are people that you want to stay and build
mm-hmm.
and eventually become homeowners, etc.
Okay.
So I was wondering what exactly is being done to rectify the problem. Maybe I should start with that.
Yeah, well, that we're aware of the problem. We can't directly address it, obviously. We don't have the, it's not in our purview, but we certainly are aware of the problem.
I don't mean to speak out of turn, but
you are.
Sorry to paper. I just wanted to let you guys know that I know that the Dollar General is tossing crackheads out when they come in. My business is tossing them out when they come in, and so is Hoagies.
Okay.
So that's...
I think that, you know, a business tossing crackheads out is very different from a municipality putting a sign up at their borders. I'm not really sure we can do that.
Right.
Are there any ordinance on campers?
So...
They're living in them and dealing drugs.
So... I'm sorry, I can't...
Is it Ken?
Kelly?
Oh,
hi,
my God.
Kelly.
I did not get that.
Kelly.
Sorry. I wasn't.
Thanks a lot, Ian.
Sorry. I needed to take my glasses off.
Yeah.
Right there.
I got a few different things.
Okay.
First of all, I think your town and your village thing being separate is a joke. I'm sorry. I don't agree with it. I think it's dumb. I think it should be all one. Okay, glad I got that out there. And audience, you know, you're with me, so don't try. And it's pretty sad, you know, because my grandmother lived here. She actually lived in the house that we just teared down a few years ago, Marie Sear. And she was very proud of this town. And I bought a house here, and I thought I'd like it. And you know what? I'm pretty sad that I have to look at my house every morning and see a crack house. And I see it happening, and I can't enjoy my house. I can't enjoy my front porch because I have to look at a freaking camper that looks disgusting. And I can't even walk my dog. And I can't, Terry knows, I walk my dogs every night on a leash. And not once, but not twice, but 4 times have I got attacked by that woman's dogs. Okay? And yes, the last time, I gave her peace of my damn mind. Okay? And I pay my taxes, I do my business here, I'm just very ashamed of this town. I'm very ashamed to be part of North Troy. Because, I'm sorry, I think this town is going to pop. It's not, North Troy should be a town we all should be proud to live in. And nobody is nobody wants to live with a bunch of crack houses. I can't even go walking after dark now because I'm afraid I'm going to get hit or robbed or attacked. And I know my friend doesn't want me walking because I told her off and said, you have to watch it. These drug people that are going to come after you. Well, come after me, honey, because I got a bat ready for you.
Okay.
Okay. And I'm sick of it, and I feel... Something's got to be done to make people to be proud to be part of North Troy. And my brother works at the school, too.
Yeah.
And I fear for him, too, when he goes to work at night. Because he tells me everything that happens. And I'm sorry. It's just something, people have to get together and do something. Because, I don't know, it's just sad. It's very sad to come home to this place and people are leaving. Because of the drug use going on. You know, you should be able to go walk down the street with your dogs and not be afraid to be attacked. And I got bit by one of the damn dogs. So I don't care if people don't know who I am. I'm not afraid. Hey, I got a mouth and I'm not happy about this place. And if I could afford to move, I would. But I can't. So I'm stuck here. But I would like to see some action.
Okay. Good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Charlie.
I'm new here. Been here for about a year. The lady that owns a house on North Pleasant, we had a little incident when I first came here. This guy, he was out of his mind. I knew he was on heroin or crack. Comes waltzing into the yard. I'm looking at him. Saying, you gotta leave. He's looking at me like, oh, I don't have to. I grabbed a baseball bat. Because personally, I would have capped his kneecaps right there and there. Period. This same guy starts harassing her. She's a homeowner. I'm not a homeowner. I rent. I love the place. I mean, when I came here, the first thing that I noticed, I couldn't sleep because it was so damn quiet. That scared me. I mean, I like the people. I know Kelly. I work with her. My next door neighbor over here, great guys. I mean, some good people here. And I think that you shouldn't have to live in fear about an idiot that's stealing. There's a school. I didn't know this that was that close. Couple of the guys that go over to that place, I knew them in Winooski. And believe me, I know them. I've seen them blast the house up. And that's what I'm worried about. Because when you get these outsiders from Pennsylvania, on Springfield, Mass., Rhode Island,
Connecticut,
oh yeah, Connecticut. Forget Connecticut. And believe me, you will eventually have drive-bys. I'll guarantee it. I will guarantee that. And it's not about let them kill each other. I could care less. But it's about kids. It's about use folks. Because, hey, God forbid, a bullet hits a house, you could be dead. It's not right. I don't think it's right.
Okay, I appreciate that. Still can't read. Diane.
I built a crack house. August 21st was the move-out day with the Sheriff's Department. Thank you. They were very kind. It was very sad. It was traumatic for me. I watched a 10-year-old boy and his crack people walk down my driveway with a little red wagon until the Batmobile came to pick him up. And off they went to Newport Center, so I've moved it 8 miles out. It took 13 months, legally. I have fed into the system many times pictures and information, and I've had it not just locally, I have personnel that works in bigger districts, and they would run plates for me because they had access to it. And the people that we were feeding and the drug drops at that little house just before the border crossing was unbelievable. From midnight every night till 7 in the morning, nonstop traffic. I saw drug deals like I've never seen. I've never seen so much crack, so much. I had a home invasion. My son was home alone, and I was in getting treatments in Burlington. And one of them walked into the house one night because he didn't quite jar the door enough. And he woke up at 1:30 in the morning to a crackhead standing at the top of the stairs. And because we're identical units, my son was able to talk him down and said, "You got the wrong door," very peacefully. But the trank stuff was flowing out of his mouth. The vomit and whatever was he was taking. I've called the state police for trespassing because I started to realize I had to put it on the books. I was on 911 dispatch one day when 5 o'clock in the morning when I walked down, and I have one tree in my yard, and out of the tree fell a druggie. And he was flying higher than a kite. And while I was on the dispatch, I'm like, "Oh, let me ask him what he's doing." She says, "Are you sure he's trespassing?" I'm like, "Yeah, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. He fell out of a tree." When I asked him what he was doing, he says, "I'm the Easter Bunny. I'm a widow. I live alone." This started happening when I came back after my husband passed away. For the first 3 months, I thought I was hearing things, and, you know, I wasn't in my right mind. My kids got me cameras, and I'm like, "Oh, my God." I've had people crawling around my house, coming in the backwoods from the Shawkat house, coming in from all directions. But nobody ever went to Canada. I even housed John Willie, the fugitive from Newport, was at our house. They tried to get him one day, but it didn't quite happen. They eventually caught him. But he was there for a week and a half. And when he came in, he moved out 24 backpacks into the car that he got away with. Because they got away because it was a high-speed chase through town. You can't do that. You know, so he got away again. And I know these guys work. I know they work. Because I put them to work a lot. Mm-hmm. I have different cell phone numbers to the state police, to the drug task enforcement, to these guys. You know, they're all on board. It's just, they're very limited in their staffing. And, you know, I can see why people become their own vigilantes. Mm-hmm. I refuse to live in fear. I refuse to let them think, you know. I moved out 60 tons worth of stuff this past weekend. We've spent $10,000 on lawyers' fees, garbage removal. We have a decontamination people that have to come in and clean. And then the startup, which is always after a tenant, the clean paint jobs. But mm-hmm. we moved out totes and totes of drug paraphernalia. Guns, weapons, you name it, I had it. And this was only in 13 months of active drug use in that house. Because Katie wasn't like that before. Katie got sick, and then she went to the doctors, and then there was COVID. And Katie got put on Percocet, and she got put on Oxycontin. And Katie was the one in her family that didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And COVID ended. And the doctor said, "Okay, you got to come in." And she didn't. She turned to the street drugs, which was her family. So you got all of them here in town. You had Katie, you had Bonnie, you had Johnny. Nicholas stays away, but he was running up from Massachusetts. And, you know, that was a family affair. And that's been their go-to for 25 years. But in the other building right beside of us was where all these people first initially got their drugs from, the John Carter Columbia Brother cartel that was in here that these guys went to the federal penitentiary for. So it's not a new problem. I've always been the running joke in town. My husband was the legal pharmacist, the legal drug dealer, and he could always go to the up the same drive to the other drug dealers. And it's
custom houses.
The custom houses, the townhouses.
Yeah.
Beautiful buildings. But mine is, anyway. The other one is dwindling, but it could still be beautiful. But to think that it could be that close to the border and not get any responses, to really not get any responses until I mean, my last break-in was after the eviction, the walkout eviction, and that night I got broken into twice, and then the next morning I'm going through my camera saying, oh, well, it's just the drug dealers coming in to get their stuff, and then I'm sitting there at 9 o'clock in the morning, and there's somebody breaking in my house again. Mike Lemure and Danielle Lemure, you know, and they're like breaking the doors, and I got it all on camera, and I'm calling 911, and I actually see the state police result in coming up to finally doing something after everybody's gone. We caught two, but after everybody was gone, I finally was getting results. But then at the same time, I know, because I heard back, some of the cars that I reported in to my sources were stolen vehicles that were returned rightfully or acknowledged rightfully to the owners in southern states, from Connecticut, from Massachusetts, from Florida. Mm-hmm. That makes me feel a little better. At least they know their car made it to Vermont. A crack deal, but they were stolen. I ID'd three different fugitives from other states that people were able to put behind bars. So it wasn't all in vain. It wasn't all for nothing, because if you can stop it from coming in, you know, and I don't know what their connection sources are when they run plates and stuff. If you get stolen vehicle plates, if I turned it into you, do you guys run it as well? Because I got better results out of another district in Vermont when it ran through a Burlington office. And they just forwarded on to the states that were acknowledging that they had a stolen car, and, you know, they followed through with it. So that's where I'm at. Yep. Now, if you're going to rent for me, you have to go through. You have to pay for your own criminal background check. So that if you can't pay for your first criminal background check, you're not getting in, because, you know, okay, no, nope, don't want you. I don't care. I'll take a loss every year.
So I think we got the
that's mine.
I think we got the message, seeing it's pretty much the same from everybody.
Yep.
Okay.
Just piggyback on what she said with the vigilante stuff.
Yes.
It is taking place, and that happened when we had our situations at the school. Mm-hmm. We had vigilantes out on the street.
I know. I talked to them.
Just so you know.
Yep.
So that is legal.
I don't know if it's legal. I'm just saying people are taking things into their own hands.
And they should not be.
Well, Kim,
Sarah has something to say.
With Detroit Revitalization Committee, Shira,
Sarah has something to say. Sarah
watch,
Phillips.
And whether what form that would take, I'm not sure. But we talked about people that could just sit and observe, people that could sit and take photos. Again, observe only. But it would provide people on the ground in the community and allow people to feel like they're actually doing something and being part of the solution, being able to coordinate with the sheriffs. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a community approach that we can take to it. You know, I live real close to it. Charlie and Kelly, you know, we've had people walking across our lawns with firearms, with drugs, going from the parking lot, going across to the house. Mm-hmm. And, you know, since Charlie went after the baseball bat, a 9 millimeter, people are now going up and around. They're going up and around the block and not going across the lawns. But, you know... So that's an idea.
You want to say something, Sarah?
Yes, thank you. So I think there are multiple layers to the issues in the community. There are things that are like more of a local level, you know, hearing about issues with dogs. I know on Dominion Avenue there have been issues with dogs and have been reported many, many, many times.
Mm-hmm.
Kids have been running, like from the school, doing, you know, dandelion run. Kids have been chased by dogs, bit by dogs, neighbors disrupted. Initially, there was something done, but now the dogs are back. So that's, you know, a very localized issue, right? Then you have the issues with the school. I mean, I know for myself personally, I try to call 911, I get Canada. that's a concern, right? You can't get to local law enforcement as somebody that lives this close to the border. 2022, we had, we were on vacation. My husband's work truck was stolen from our driveway in the middle of the day. Fortunately, we didn't have gas in it. It was dumped on the Bayview Road. But then, you know, when you have issues with the school, right? So if there's not a local law enforcement presence, people are going to react out of fear. They want to protect their children. They want to protect community children. So you're going to have people with firearms, people that are acting out of fear that might be around the perimeter, which is legal to carry, open carry in Vermont. It's nothing you're allowed to. As long as you're, you know, allowed to have a firearm in Vermont, you can open carry. But what happens when we don't have that reassurance of in law enforcement because of budget cuts and whatever, that people from the town feel like they're doing their due diligence to protect the school, and then somebody that they view that might be a threat, which actually might not be a threat, comes on school property, and people just get freaked out. They start firing. Then you have people that have been law-abiding citizens that are acting out of fear, shooting at somebody that might not be a threat, and then you turned a law-abiding citizen into a criminal, into a murderer. Firing shots towards a school, which a stray bullet might hit a child.
I would say that's not a law-abiding citizen doing that sort of thing. I would argue with you there.
You know, depending, we have to look at all IQ levels, all reasonable levels. So people that are, what might be reasonable, logical for one person is different for another. What they think they're doing, their intentions are good, but the rationale behind it might be different. You know, living in a rural area, I worry about Vivian even getting off the bus, running down the driveway because I'm afraid of who might be going back and forth. What person from Connecticut? What person from Mass? I mean, I've lived in Denver. Like, I worked in one of the worst parts in Denver in the ER, walking out to my car after my shift with a body in the parking lot because somebody didn't get close enough to the ER entrance when they were dumping off somebody ODing. Like, I've seen a lot of bad stuff. Hispanic gangs. I don't know that I was as apprehensive about where I lived in Denver as to where I am here. And that's pretty horrible. Like, it's, you know, going from a big city and feeling less nervous than I feel in a small area, because at least in a big area, I know that police presence, if I call 911, they're going to be here in a matter of minutes. When I call 911 here, it's like I have to deal with talking to somebody from Canada for 20 minutes before they try to transfer me, and then that line doesn't, there has to be a change, and I don't know what that change needs to be, but you're going to have people that, and no offense to anybody in the community, different levels of understanding, different educational levels, people that in their mind are doing the right thing, but it could turn into a really bad event.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because
emotions,
fear. I mean, fear is the driver of a lot of horrible things that happen. And I think that
I fled many nights
like
in the middle of the night. I locked my
car. Can I reply?
On many occasions, because I recognize certain vehicles that pulled into my driveway, and I always parked on the other side of the driveway so I could leave. And I fled many nights, and I'd be gone for days at a time.
And with the eviction processes, you know, people like Jacques and Carmen Bouchard, who have provided huge benefits to the community. I mean, Carmen's had her daycare for how long? How many people's children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews have gone through Carmen's daycare? I mean, she could retire at any moment. They don't need the money. She does it as a service. They have multiple rental properties. Her father's house, which is right across from, like, the Troy General Store, was smashed up. I mean, they took months to get people out of that house. It was her house she grew up in. Holes in the walls. I mean, just...
And that's something that, being a landlord, that's something we have no control over at the town level.
I mean, even if...
We don't.
You know, I don't know if there's anything we can do as a local community to, like, help that process. But, you know, we shouldn't take people that are providing huge benefits to the community, employment, childcare services, and they're, you know, I mean, they want to sell everything, not do it anymore. So then they what, get turned into Airbnbs? I mean, then more people that are working in the community can't afford to live here. And so then you have really high-end homes and you have section 8 homes. You're losing that middle class. You're losing the people that are actually going to be here to work to bring up the community. I know with the middle school last year, we were talking about like community revitalization. But like, you know, talking about like a local rec center for kids, who's going to want to let their kids ride the bike to and from if, you know, there's a known drug addict who's passing out behind the wheel driving 90 miles an hour if we don't want to fire. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's got to be some sort of like something.
Yeah.
And
well,
I think that Jasmine wanted to respond to
a part of what you said.
So the only response that I want to make, Sarah, is your comment about you're not sure what's going on, if it's with budget cuts and all of that. One of my questions, and I emailed Sheriff Harlow, was asking about our, I don't know if I put this in the email or not, maybe not, but
I'm like, is
to determine whether or not our contract with the Orleans County Sheriff is robust enough. A couple of years ago, right, we had a motion on the table to cut the contract to zero, like we don't need a sheriff in town. And that's not what I'm hearing tonight.
No.
And so Sheriff Harlow, in reaction to all of this, I mean, that's something that we've sort of,
we should discuss,
you know, batted around and discuss. But that's something that we're interested in pursuing with you, is just to identify whether or not our contract is robust enough to allow you to do these sorts of things, or if we have to up it. And if we have to do that, then
because it's invisible.
Yeah, well, so I think
but
that we can
see what
just,
I mean?
Yeah. I think that we can discuss that at the board level, and then we can propose it, and it can go before the town in March.
Absolutely. So like I just said to Jed, when they were here visibly around for those few days that unfortunately we needed them,
yep,
you could visibly see things calm down.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Just have them sitting, circling,
yep,
visiting here in the playground with the kids and the staff. It just changed the whole atmosphere.
But it
yeah,
has
I
to
think
wait
we
until
agree.
March.
Yeah.
Yes, because that's budget time.
It's budget.
It has to wait until March.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so like in other like planned communities where I live in Colorado, like Neighborhood Watch. You know, it was like
that's Sam was just talking about.
But you know, like parameters, like don't be walking around with your rifle. Like,
yes,
probably not that, you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
just
what we discussed.
Yeah.
I would be like observe only or whatever the sheriff might recommend. That's the thing. With a uniform of some kind. A bright red shirt.
I got
go.
Plenty.
You all heard, Kelly's going to supply them.
Damn right. I walk a lot. I walk.
Well, that's I mean, that's something that's always a possibility.
It's pretty sad,
but
I go walking and I have to carry a stick to my hair.
Yeah. So, but I think we get the idea as far as the drugs and the fear of violence and so forth, and so we will.
So what is our step for town meeting in March to try and get this on the table for a vote, to have more police presence?
Right. Well, so what we can do as a board
budget
is we can discuss the contract that we have with the sheriff's department.
Okay.
We can present something at town meeting day that increases that budget. And basically, then, you know, so long as it would work with the sheriff's department, that's open discussion. I mean, you can increase the budget for the food shelf, right?
Well, we seem
and
to
so,
I'm sorry, I love my dogs, but we seem to always want to give more for the dogs and less on the people part.
I don't understand what that comment means. No, what does that mean?
No, just on the
no, then we always
appropriations. On the appropriations, thank you.
So that's
something that we can work on, and we'll work on it.
Okay.
We'll work on it at our regular meetings if you want to come, and we'll be talking about it.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Good.
I guess my question is, how do you go about the steps on getting the violence and the drug situation out?
of your town, of our town?
See, and we don't know the answer to that question because we're just the select board. So that we have to, so that it's
we'll talk. We'll talk.
I didn't think you could live in campers in
town. No, and that's something we're working on too. That's similar.
Below, you know,
that's similar to the dog ordinance that we just came up with, which is we have to have the capacity to take the steps to enforce the laws,
right.
And we were lacking that, and that's what we're working on. But it takes, as Gasson said, it just takes time, and there's, you know, there is.
If folks don't have adequate water and sewer, you can refer to DEC, the Department of Environmental Conservation. It's a little challenging if it's like a, if it's on wheels and can be moved, folks could say that, well, we're
well,
not hooked up to
these
water.
These are
campers that they're living.
Yeah, they're making their drugs and selling them.
Yeah, we don't need them accessing.
Yeah.
I want some drugs. I know where to go.
And then again, we got to, too much back and forth here. Okay. So I think if we feel that we're moving in the right direction to be able to take the steps, it just, as Gaston said, it just takes time, as with the dog ordinance. If we can get, if the sheriff's department has the capacity and we can increase our contract with them so that there's more presence in the town, I would certainly support that.
But
that would come before the town in March.
Okay.
So.
Sheriff Pollard, do you have like an email or something? So say people want to feel like they want to take action or be aware, and they see suspicious activity. Is there like an email where they could send pictures of license plates? Like where?
No.
Like that could, I don't know. To be reviewed. I mean, it could get cumbersome, but
you can call our office anytime, and you can send us emails if you have pictures or videos. We take those, we look at them, we use them. I mean, I've had people in town who are sending me, you know, pictures of plates and stuff, and pictures of what people are doing, and you know, then I come here, and so I try to work some grant details that puts me out in this area, like I'm doing right now, and so. Even though we don't have a huge contract with Troy, but when we work different contracts and stuff, then they can put us out here, and so that you guys are getting coverage and stuff. The other few nights ago, I was out here for a couple details, and it was dead, because the minute I come into town and they see a cruiser, everybody scatters.
Yeah.
And the minute I leave,
I get
some calls and text messages. Here they are. Here they are. Here they are. And I'm like,
so you're saying you think cardboard cutout of your cruiser,
sure.
Leave it, right?
So okay. We're gonna move on. We're gonna move on here, okay? Because we got stuff we got to do.
But thank you for coming in and talking to us.
Yes.
Revised agenda. What I gave you was the original when I copied it.
No, this is revised.
That is.
This is not.
Right, exactly. Sorry. Because you had a couple items. Sorry, I just realized.
That's okay. So.
So the next on the agenda is you, Sheriff Harlow. But that's just to discuss the town ordinance and speed.
So what we've done is one of the things that I'm really frustrated about is that when we draft a memo or a notice to somebody who's, you know, not in accordance with our bylaws or with an ordinance, is this whole thing with compliance. And so, again, you know, so we're going down this avenue or this path of writing civil what are they called, municipal civil tickets or civil municipal tickets, where Robert and I would have the authority to actually write tickets. And so, I've not been to the police academy, and I've never in my life thought that I would ever write a ticket. So this is really stressful. And so, you know, talked with the VLCT lawyers, attended a training, which was excellent. And there is one piece. So I asked, this was my question. I was like, so what is it that I'm not asking that could land me in a bit of trouble if I'm not careful? And the response that came back, he actually had a response for me. And that was that when you write a ticket, you have to prove identification. So in other words, right, when you do a traffic stop, you have the license, and so you can confirm it. So with us writing these civil municipal tickets, right? I mean, you can just see how this could escalate real quick, where we would ask, you know, okay, you know, you take the name, you fill it all out, and you say, okay, I need to see your driver's license. And what kind of a reaction we're going to get. So I guess my question is there any capacity or not? I mean, there may not be, from the Orleans County Sheriff's Department to help us with the compliance. Because what I'm now refusing to do is to write a memo with a list of things that will happen to you if you don't comply, and we have no mechanism, nothing in place to actually carry out those things that we say we're going to do. We want to turn that on its head so that what we say we're going to do, we're going to do.
Yep.
And we're right at the very end of all of this. And that's right now, it's like, okay, how do we get over this?
I mean, we're happy to come out and help you guys if you feel like you're not safe going to a residence or you need help doing that. We don't. A lot of the towns have a dog officer, or somebody like Renee,
mm-hmm.
who really takes care of everything and doesn't call us unless they really need to.
And, sorry, I don't mean to interrupt.
Yep, no.
Just so that everybody in the room knows, the person that she's talking about went to the police academy. Very comfortable
right.
with all of, you know, writing tickets and how to do it. So I'm sorry,
nice
but
the entire county would hire her and she could just
yeah.
work for
yeah.
We asked.
Yeah, we tried.
Yeah, we tried.
We really did try.
You asked really nicely. She would like to reconsider.
We did.
We okay, so.
But she's great. And, you know, as far as getting any advice, because she does it flawlessly. So, most fair. But no, we're happy to come and help when we can and when you guys need us, too.
So I guess then that goes back to the contract and the you know, robustness of that contract, you know. If this is something that we think that we may want to call upon you more, then it would be, you know, added into the new contract. Because I don't think that that's something that we've even talked about before.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, because you guys didn't have one.
So. And yeah. And this is all new. Who knew?
But it sounds like it's going to be a well-used ordinance.
Yeah. So. And then it's not just for the ordinance, it's also with our zoning bylaws. I mean, it sort of cuts across a lot of different things within the community. And so I suspect that as we move forward, there probably will be other ordinances that we'll have to draft. And just so everybody knows, these are not ordinances that we just sort of come up with. You know, Vermont League of Cities and Towns is incredibly helpful. Like somebody was talking about dog bites and stuff. Now, within the new ordinance, there's a whole section on what to do with that. Whereas before,
Yeah, we've helped out several towns, you know, with zoning officers or officers who need to go into different places. We go with them to make sure they're safe and things and
okay.
do whatever we can. But we're happier to do that than into having to write, you know, the tickets and stuff like that. If you guys are able and capable of doing that, we're happy to go and make sure and assist and do whatever you need to for safety wise and just try to get the information that you need to go through with everything. But
okay,
great.
Thank you.
And then you guys have it all figured out, like if we have to go take a dog, that you can, like where you're going to bring it and who's going to help it.
Yeah, actually, we do have that talk. We do.
So the other concern was somebody came to our last meeting and was concerned with the speed of the traffic on the River Road.
Very concerning.
Very concerned. Yeah.
Very troubling.
Traffic meaning speed-wise?
Speed, yeah, road. Speeding on the River Road. So,
you know.
There's a bigger reason for that as well. I'm sure you know what that is.
Okay.
But it's locals and out of state, so no one gets a buy. Going down there, so this would be the house. There's a log cabin, so it's the house right across from the log cabin. So it's sort of like that flat just before, and apparently you've got ATVs that are flying down that road. locals going down that road, and they're just very, very concerned about somebody walking because there isn't really a sidewalk there. Side of the road.
Is
so,
particular times of the day, or
they said early in the morning, right? Yeah, early.
Early in the morning, later at evening when people are getting out of work.
The normal times.
Yeah.
So yeah, we kind of wanted to talk, and then the other piece to the speeding. So that's very specific to the River Road, but it's to the whole the town to include the whole town to include the village. We had students come and talk to us in June, and one of their concerns, so I'm just going to say, I think there might have been 10 students, and 5 out of 10 had said that they had a close call with a car coming too close or scaring them or, cutting them off or what have you. Certainly one is too much, but I think that we would all agree that, I mean, if they're not pushing over for adults, they sure are not pushing over for our kids. So that becomes a concern. So, ideas for how we could control that. I don't know, you do have those signs here in Troy, the flashing signs. But, I mean, are there things that we can do as well to help control that traffic? Because it really is getting to be a big problem. See, so then we go,
all over.
Yes, so then we go right back to the contract. Yeah. It's the contract robust enough to allow you the sufficient number of hours to patrol our...
And then I also have to have people. I have to have
yeah, exactly, the capacity. Right. Can I do an ad?
What?
Can I do an ad?
Yeah. You can do an ad.
And I wanted to publicly thank Sheriff Harlow for responding to the incidences at Troy School when we were waiting for other law enforcement agencies to come to campus. I know that our superintendent, Elaine Collins, reached out, and you were quick to send somebody, and I can't tell you enough how much that, obviously that means a lot to have law enforcement here during those times. And so I wanted to make sure that you understood that, at least from this end that we appreciate it and you're hearing it from the community as well.
My comments about law enforcement did not pertain to you guys, and we appreciated having you the following days as well.
And Eric, the principal, was very, very, when he was telling me that you were sending officers to, So thank you so much for doing that. Is that it? Oh, and then one last thing, and I know this is something that's being discussed at the NCSU level, but that is this communication back and forth. And I know that, being on the school board, that we're going to, work on policies with communication from the school to the SU and then to the parents and community. But with this hat, with the select board hat, the first incident you know, there was an evening where I don't know, you know, so I'm just telling you secondhand or thirdhand, you know, where some kids were arrested in on the schoolyard. And Eric the next day, as the principal, was having to field questions. And then at the end of the day, he sent out an email to you know, a number of people, because I'm chair of the board, I was on that. And I wrote back and I was like, Eric, why am I hearing this from you today? So I don't know if there's a mechanism. I don't know how to begin that conversation, but it sure would be nice to have some means of, you know, law enforcement communicating back to us. I mean, and I mentioned this before, but, you know, like the murder down in Troy, right. We're all Troy. That used to be South Troy when I was growing up. But, you know, that and the murder down there, I mean, we never got a phone call from any law enforcement. And, you know, we were, you know, like, oh, my gosh, you know. And so you try not to get into the rumor stuff. And, you go online, you try to find documents to read and write and to understand. But I just don't know if there is a way to have that. I don't know. And I don't know where to start that conversation. But that's certainly something that is a concern, yeah. You know. Local emergency management plan. I mean, it probably should be included in that. And by the way, every community has a local emergency management plan. And Liz Butterfield at the North Country Supervisory Union is the one that's responsible for emergency notification, right, to all our communities. And I've asked her and Elaine Collins, our superintendent, for some kind of a statement to put into our local emergency management plan that comes from the school to tell us, right, the town, how you know, what part we could play should there be, you know. But anyway,
I'm mad about that. And
yeah.
I will personally try to be more thoughtful about that with the county and reaching out to people, but yeah, it's something that we don't always think about when things like that are happening, and then before you know it, it's over with. And
I mean, I get it. You know, I do get it, but it's just sure would be good to for us, and we would need to work on it on our end as well. Good?
Good. Good. Thank you.
So as we start the budget year, just know that it's on the table to relook at our contract with you,
yeah.
And to see whether or not we could increase it by how much and what that would get us. And
if we keep it the way we pay by hour, right? So that's the way I would keep it. So if we did go up and for some reason, like I just lost two employees.
Yeah.
I've got one in the academy. And I have two applicants, but those are going to take a while to train, you know. But this is just a constant thing that we're dealing with. Mm-hmm. So if we kept it on, if you had a range, but we still kept it, you know, when we work, we charge, and when we don't work, we don't. So at least we're not having to, I just think that's the fairest, because I could be okay, I was literally okay for 1 week, and then I wasn't, you know. So just keeping it like that, and we'll be just doing the best that we possibly can.
Yeah.
Also, as far as calling 911, 911's always going to get you to state police here.
Yes.
So.
Not on a cell phone, it goes to Canada.
Yeah.
Well, okay, but still, they're going to still reroute you to
right.
PSP.
I didn't know if that's what you were saying.
So.
I got landline now. 2 a.m. and my house is burning down and I'm getting Quebec.
Yeah. So. When I don't have our own dispatch, Newport PD dispatches for us. So you can either, if you call our line, the 334-3333, and it's after our dispatch hours, you just press 1 to speak to dispatch, and you can contact us. And I have deputies on from 6 to midnight.
Wow.
Eventually, I would like to have it on longer, but as of right now, that's what we can manage.
Yep.
So, and, you know, we are up here as much as we can be in our, but the drug stuff is a really hard. I know it doesn't feel like it should be hard, and sometimes I wish it wasn't as hard, but we also have to make sure that we have, probable cause and all that crap, and
yeah.
We get it when you guys are seeing this and watching it firsthand, and then we come and nothing's happening.
Mm.
There are stuff happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not as quickly as we all would like it to see
mm-hmm.
to happen. So we do know it, and we are trying, we are working on it, just not as fast as we all would like to see it done. So
you definitely are. I called you when that guy that Charlie was talking about came up into my living room, and you immediately sent somebody and then grabbed him. So
yeah. And that's the important thing. If you guys see something happening, you need to call immediately. Mm-hmm. So because we all know this is a big area, so it is going to take some time, depending on what else is going on for a response.
Yeah.
So minutes can mean minutes of response also. Like, and it's not, you know, and if you call my office and you report it, and there's nothing that we can do it right that minute, at least it's being documented and it's being reported, and we're starting to build that, what's going on.
It's scary when you live alone now and see this, you know?
No, I, yep.
Time for me to buy a gun, I guess.
Well, it just sucks when, you know, my house is here and I'm right across from it. And I have to see it. And it just, you don't feel safe. Like, I'm buying cameras in my house because we've had a lot of encounters. And that, you live in fear. And I don't live alone. I live with my mother and my brother and my friend. And I have my three dogs. But, you know.
It's still not, yeah, I get it.
You still
completely not, understand.
Yeah.
You should sit on the front porch.
I can get good pictures. I see it all the time when I'm on my front porch. I don't even sit at the front porch anymore because all I'm seeing is really, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, thank you, Sharon Parlo, for taking the time to come out.
Thank
you.
Good. Thank you.
You too. Thank you.
Catherine. Yeah.
Sorry.
No. So I'm Catherine Sims, and I'm running for state senate, and as a part of that, making an effort to get out to all the select board meetings to reintroduce myself and to hear about the issues that matter to you.
It's a good night to come.
So we've heard about tires, we've heard about dogs, we've heard about drugs. That's, you know, really helpful and informs, you know, my perspective on these issues. I thought I'd just share like a little bit about myself, and then, you know, would love to open it up if there's, you want to elaborate more, or if there are other things that you want to add. From the town perspective. So I live in Grassberry with my husband and my two kiddos. And I just finished my second term in the House. I serve on House Ways and Means, one of the two money committees, and I'm one of the co-chairs of the Rural Caucus, which is a 50-member bipartisan caucus. We have Democratic, Independent, and Republican co-chair because we believe we do our best work when all the voices are at the table and we can find common ground and move forward together. I'm motivated to serve because I care deeply about this place. And it feels like our way of life is under threat. Heard a lot of that this evening. You know, there's the safety in our communities. There's wages not keeping up with inflation. It's the challenge of finding and affording a home. I worry, will my kids be able to make a life here? Will I be able to retire comfortably here? How do our communities evolve without losing what makes them so special? Or how do we keep what is so special about our communities? In the House, I'm proud of my work to collaborate across the aisles to get stuff done for our region. I advocate for stuff that's good for us, and I speak up and I vote no when it's not. Just some of the work that I would want to highlight. In my first term, I served on energy and technology, and we were able to direct a significant amount of our federal ARPA dollars toward broadband build-out, knowing how important it is to make sure that every last mile is connected to high-speed internet. Helped reform Act 250 to make it cheaper and easier to build in our villages and downtowns as one piece of regulatory reform to address the housing crisis. I'm going to help lead passage of a bipartisan EMS bill to support our first responders and take meaningful actions, help stabilize our EMS system so that when you need help, there's someone who can come to your aid. But there's so much more work to do to make Vermont affordable by lowering the cost of housing and healthcare and childcare and tax cuts for the middle class, protecting our communities so that we're safe, and fixing our education financing system so that all Vermont kids have access to a high-quality education at a price that we can afford. It's been an honor to be in the House, and in the Senate, I could affect even more change for our communities. But again, I'd really love to hear from you. What are the issues that are top of mind for you? How can Montpelier better take care of Troy and our residents?
I have a quick answer.
Yes!
Let's hear it!
So, you know, this whole thing with the town health officer, I mean, you know, it's a requirement.
you
know,
going. Are you struggling to fill the position?
No, no, I'm the town health officer. And it becomes this really difficult thing to do. And I think the best thing that happened a few years ago was when they transferred all of those rental inspections to the Department of Public Safety fire inspectors, because they know what they're doing. It just seems, and I'm exaggerating a bit, but not much, you know, your gig as the town health officer is, here's your manual, and here's a blog of people that you don't know, and you have no idea how their view of the world is, and have at it, and here's your little badge. Yeah. And so I really, really appreciated that. So on that, so now I'm following to an issue. You're hearing a lot of concerns about things going on in town, from Sarah's, you know, the dog issue, which is a serious, got it, understood. And we've gone through the ordinance thing, and we've worked through this compliance thing, but, you know, I still have to get an ID so that I can confirm that it's you. And I'm not really, right? I don't have a badge. I've never been to the police academy. So it's sort of like I was heartened to hear about this organization. But, man, it sure would be good to have, you know, somebody to call that can come in and do the things that need to be done, who are trained, who know the law, who are good working with difficult people. I mean, it's all of that. It's, you know, times have changed. And, you know, this whole thing with, you know, Montpelier sort of, and I think this is across the United States. Well, it's, you know, it's your town. You marshal it. And it's like, wait a minute, you know, we're going to go on and, you know, you don't know if the person has a gun. You don't know if he's got this. I mean, you know, we've got place up here where they've got dogs and they're using the dogs to, you know, as, right, you want to talk to me, go through the dog. I mean, it's so, I don't know, so it just, so
yeah, I all that you're saying really resonates, and I think it's sort of good specific examples of maybe the symptom of some larger challenges. I mean, maybe you knew, maybe you didn't know what you were signing up for when you took this job and the responsibilities, right? Our expectations for municipal government at this point, you know, 3 volunteers, right? And the demands are growing and growing and growing, you know, whether it's EMS, fire, health, dog, even zoning administration, right? Or flood resiliency. I mean, the challenges that we face and the capacity it requires, or just to find and get grant opportunities to pay for the infrastructure needs that we have. And
yeah.
So I'm curious what you think. One thing we did last session was we set up a study to look at county level government. We're also looking at evaluation and recommendations around the Regional Planning Commission, so NBDA is ours. And the question is, are there some, so sometimes the state feels, I think, too far away, right? But maybe the local level is what I hear saying, like town by town, it's there are some things that may be beyond the scope and capacity. And so I think the question that's being asked is there an entity at the more regional level that could hold some of this stuff? Maybe a grant writer that's shared by a couple of towns, regional fire and EMS.
Compliance person.
Fire district management. Some of my towns, they're trying to manage aging water systems. And instead of each town trying to do that on our own, could we band together to have county level government or the RPC take on some of these responsibilities and bring maybe a higher sort of professional service level? I'm seeing you nodding, so it sounds like that's resonating. And so those are two studies that have that are in process now. Those recommendations should come back at the beginning of next session, and hopefully we can act on some of them. The flood really highlighted that FEMA, you know, federal government, really well suited to work with county level government to, you know, shovel the resources to do recovery work. And the fact that we didn't have that entity of municipal government really slowed down accessing some of the resources. So there's, I think, renewed interest in that county level government for that reason, but it may help solve some of the other challenges. So thanks for all your service and appreciate you flagging that you could use some more support with it.
Yeah, I mean, even to do it, right, we don't, like, not... You know, even to come up with the dog ordinance, I mean, Gasson, because there's not one person coming and say, this is what you have to do, and then the identification, and this is how you have to do this part, the amount of hours that he put in to research to get it, to produce it. Right.
It's amazing.
And the LCD is helpful, but you still have to do it all, customize it to your own town.
Right. But if there were somebody who could simply support Gasson in doing that, you know, so that, you know, because if everybody's going to produce this at the town level, right,
not very efficient,
and not everybody is a Gasson. So,
and some consistency across, I mean, as you're saying, town,
I mean,
village, even here.
Right, Gasson has the skill set to do that, and we're really, really lucky. And has, you know, dedicated a lot of time and resources to do it. And this town is really lucky in that respect. And not every town has that. As you're sitting here with volunteers that, for me, this is very new. I have, like, little to no experience. So I sit here and I listen a lot and I learn from these two gentlemen that have a lot of experience. And Terry with her experience. And it's a lot. I think I have found this experience mind-blowing of what the expectations are as an individual. Just trying to grasp all of it is a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
So to have that support at a more regional level or, you know, some, you know, resources would be, I think, helpful.
Yeah. I was in Burke the other day talking with Jim Sullivan, their town administrator, and he's full-time there, but he's like, you know, sometimes I have a little extra time. Like, I have all the context. I have developed some of the policies and procedures that, you know, you know, even from his own perspective, it's like having him serve multiple towns could help everybody level up. So I think it's something that we all should be looking at.
But I think that one thing that I have to say is, as a region, so we changed our ambulance service to Newport, and it was a really big discussion. And what was really incredible, if I can use that adjective, about that whole process was that, you know, the select board from Lowell, Westfield, Jay, and Troy, and the village of North Troy came together, and we made that happen. And I don't know if you knew this, but the Rasputitsa, the bike race, when that came across, we were like, oh my gosh, you know, we can't just let this happen without us kind of investigating it more. And so we just went back to that same, and it was interesting. Vermont League of Cities and Towns was saying, well, you know, maybe you need to send a representative to a meeting. I was like, we're not going to do that. We're all going to get together. And that's exactly what it was. The invitation was sent out. And we did this as a region. So I think that, you know, talking about, you know, county government, I think, yeah. And I think we can work with other, I mean, look at our fire departments, right? Mutual aid, you know what I mean? And I think that, you know, the stuff that we're seeing in North Troy and Troy and is not so different from what they're seeing in other communities. So, you know, what can we all do as a group to kind of, yeah, I mean,
it's a burden across everybody. Yeah. Yeah. Collaboration is exciting, and it's great that you have these examples of how it's worked and highlights what's possible.
Sorry.
Robert or Anne, anything else you'd highlight as another issue that's kind of top of mind? Or?
I think we addressed everything that's been on our mind, and to have this group of people come and express it, you know, and show their support and their passion for their community. I think we all feel the same way, just frustrated.
Yeah, Northern Vermont with that highway is pretty vulnerable. You know, there are some things that we did last session to increase penalties for petty and retail theft. We did invest more in the judiciary system, knowing that the kind of backlog of cases and the lack of swift consequences is part of what's perpetuating this. But there's absolutely more that we need to do to invest in law enforcement capacity, to stiffen penalties for violent and, you know, drug offenses, education.
Letting them go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then the catch and release. I mean, hearing about someone committing an escalating violent, act after, being out for the third, fourth, sixth time, that's not helping keep our community safe.
No.
I think these are all...
Don't give them just a slap on the wrist.
No, it just perpetuates.
Yes.
And at the same time, we need to make investments in some of the underlying challenges around poverty, mental health, housing that are exacerbating this epidemic.
And landlord-tenant situations, because landlords want to get rid of problem tenants, but it's impossible because the whole system is rigged against landlords.
It's not impossible.
Well, yeah, but
it's time-consuming, though.
So there's a few landlords in my district that we've had ongoing conversations about this, and one thing that I've floated, other states have a housing court that can more swiftly process some of the eviction cases. Do we look at, a sort of different set of procedures when there's known documented drug use? You shouldn't have to go through the long, lengthy, expensive process. And so...
investment of all the cameras.
You have a successful outcome, but it shouldn't take that long and cost that much. And so, certainly agree that that's a piece of making sure that houses aren't set up in our communities. So swifter, stiffer consequences are important priorities for us to be tackling next session.
And I gotta go, but on a good note, I'm gonna leave it that there will be a 3-bedroom apartment available, maybe by December, that will require a criminal background check. But if you don't have anything to hide, I'll pay you back for your background check. And it's a very beautiful apartment, and it's heat included. For $12.50 a month. So if you know of a good family that you want to bring into the area that doesn't do drugs, think of us. You got my number. But I have to go.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you.
Thank you for your service.
Yes. I'm still waiting for my paycheck.
Yes. Thanks.
Thank you.
Never hesitate to reach out directly.
It's always invaluable to hear what's working and what the challenges are. All right. Moving on to the article of inclusion.
Do you want me to call him now, Norman Cohen? He wants
to be
on the
answer
phone.
That.
Huh?
Yeah, I guess we have to.
I guess so.
Sorry.
Do I want? I don't know. Not really. Just.
Hi, this is Terry from the town of Troy. I'm going to put you on speakerphone, okay?
Hi, so if you just want to introduce yourself quickly.
Yes, I will. I have a hearing loss. This may complicate this a little bit, but please bear with me. I'm Norman Cohen. I live in Rutland, and I am part of the Vermont Declaration of Inclusion Initiative. My notes show that I spoke to you in July for a short period of time, but I'd like to go over that information and add a little bit to it, if it would be okay for you.
I think that we've all spent quite a bit of time discussing this and reviewing the information you gave us originally.
Let me approach it this way. Do you have any, if that's the case and you're familiar with it and there's nobody in the audience that would benefit me from going over this information, maybe it would be more economical and productive if I just asked you to tell me what your questions or concerns are or curiosity, and I can proceed from there.
So what we have is we have an abbreviated version of what you gave us, and I can read it so the people in the audience know what we're talking about, and we can go forward from there. Does that work? And then maybe we can make a motion on it and then have discussion. Okay. So what this is just an article of inclusion. Okay.
Let me put you on speakerphone. I may be able to hear you better.
Okay. What this says is, as a town, we formally condemn discrimination in all its forms.
Could you start over?
I can. You'll be familiar with this. As a town, we formally condemn discrimination in all its forms, commit to fair and equal treatment of everyone in our community, and strive to ensure all actions, policies, and operating procedures reflect this commitment. The town of Troy is and will continue to be a place where individuals can live freely and express their opinions. That's all there is.
Thank you for spending the time on it. Do you generally prefer to have a more inclusive preamble, so to speak, first paragraph, so we identify everybody? That's what we've generally required in order to be listed. But I can't speak for the rest of the group. And a lot of things fall in between. So, ask what you're comfortable with, and send me a signed copy by all, either the chair or by the select board, however you proceed, and we'll go from there. And if we have some questions, I'll call you back.
Okay.
Does that sound comfortable?
Yep, it does.
Okay. We'd like to see it and look at it, and maybe we'll have another conversation. And maybe not. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye now.
Bye.
Would you like me to make a motion? You want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Okay.
I'll make a motion that the town of Troy adopt the article of inclusion formally.
Okay. Any discussion?
Any discussion?
Anybody here have something to say?
Nope. Who brought this about? Like, what's the reason? We just never had one?
We never had one.
Okay.
So
now
this,
we're going to have one.
Yeah.
Many towns are doing it.
Yeah.
Many towns are doing it. We just changed it a little bit.
But okay. Not every town is adopting verbatim what this, the real, our, what is it? Declaration of inclusion.
The declaration from the group that put out this initiative.
And is that, this is a representative of that group?
Yes.
Yes. And what we've done is we've cut the first statements out. And what that first statement is it lists all these different classes of people. And we were very uncomfortable with the labels that came along with it. And I think that, when you start to label people, then it becomes, well, okay, so how do we identify whether or not we're successful or not? So, okay, so now when people come through, let me ask you what your label is so that, we can say we're, and the other thing is I did a little bit of research and went online and looked at different municipality websites and, what would be your impression? I mean, the impression that I got was that, this is front and center where everybody can see. I mean, there was one where I actually had to go to the search button to identify where their inclusion statement was. So I'm not really sure, so I think that this, for us is what represents our community, I think. I think we are welcoming and thank you, Travis, was very gracious and telling us that, as a new person in town, that we are open. And so, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're wondering.
So, Gaston, I think inclusion of protected classes, right? But I think then we talk back about, the riffraff in the community. So if you make it a blanket statement that we're not discriminatory in any fashion, then people that are living abutting school property that are using drugs are criminals, and then you're saying, well, we're going to have certain laws to keep our community safe,
they could take that and say, well, you're violating your own ordinances by discriminating because I have a criminal history. It might be a pedophile, drug abuser, drug dealer. I think there should be some parameters, protected classes, race, religion, gender identity. But
where does the list end? Who do you exclude by not including them in the list?
I think
if you make a list, where do you end the list?
With affirmative action that's been defined by our government.
But I mean, it's a list.
And we have to comply with that.
It's a list.
That
and
anyway.
The list, when I was young, would have been a much, much shorter list than it is today.
Right.
So
if you open it up, then people that are doing illicit things in our community could take that, hold on to it, and say that, oh, they're being discriminated against.
I think we're addressing something else here. Because, I mean, if you break the law, you break the law. You know?
But if you aren't currently breaking the law, but you have a history of breaking the law, I mean, I'm just saying, an overarching statement could be a slippery slope. I think definitions and parameters are helpful sometimes.
Okay.
Robert, you could address it by amending it to add law abiding.
We don't want to make it an exclusionary statement.
Because even people who don't abide by the law have rights. So we have to be really... So again, you know, what we're adopting is exactly the statement without the preamble to it. So it's we haven't changed anything with what we're electing to go with. We're just not, you know, we opted to not put the labels in.
Yes.
Anything else?
Any other discussion or opinions towards it? I think we've heard probably both sides.
Yeah.
North Troy's always been very inclusive. I grew up here, and if people feel like we need this, then I'm all for it.
Okay. There's a motion on the table.
Okay.
I will second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. To appoint the custodial official. This is very important for our new dog ordinance.
No, it's not just for that.
But it is important for that.
Yeah, so when I contacted the Vermont Judiciary Bureau in White River Junction, we have to apply to get tickets. And we get a book of tickets, much like you see a state trooper or a sheriff writing. And there's, you know, you have to fill it out. And part of the application, right, and I didn't get this until my training with the Vermont League, is that we need a custodial official because the custodial official is the keeper of the record. So because...
Is there somebody still on the phone?
Yeah?
You still on the phone? Nope, you just don't know.
Hello?
Yeah, hi. Do you still want to listen to our meeting?
No, I couldn't tell whether you had completed it or not. It sounded like you were going on a little bit longer.
Oh, no, we made a motion and adopted the statement that I read aloud.
Okay. Please sign it and have your town clerk send it to me.
We will.
And we'll get back to you if we have any comments.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your time, and thank your town clerk for her courtesy and help.
I will.
Good evening.
So the custodial official, is the central person that, like, when we write a ticket and we get a court date, that notification would come to a person. And we do not want that person or I do not want that notice to come on my personal email, nor does Robert on his personal email. It needs to go through the town. And so at our meeting in August, we identified Robert and I as the two to write tickets, but we neglected to write who this official was, and I can't ask for the book of tickets until we have that. So the motion is then to appoint Terry Medley or the town clerk as the custodial official.
Okay.
So do you want it to be to appoint the keeper to be the town clerk who is currently, so it stays at the town clerk level?
Yes.
Going anywhere.
Oh, yeah. No.
That?
That's exactly
so
what
stay
I...
stay with
yes.
the town clerk.
Please.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Please. And it's custodial official is the title that they give that person.
So no motion on the table. Is there any discussion? No?
I mean, it makes sense for it to go to Terry and keep it all to an official town email.
Is that it?
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So carried. One question now.
Yeah.
Can I submit that application now? I'll send the email out and ask for a book of tickets and stuff.
Thank you for all this hard work with updating our organizing. I'm sure it's a lot of work.
Well, it's just, it's so different.
I can't remember.
It's like... Okay.
Are you
going
to do the tire drop, or have you decided?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep, that was on that one. So, the tire drop. We're going to discuss the tire drop because we got the flyers out late, right? The flyers have just gone out today. We probably will have a tire drop next Friday and Saturday. That's when it's scheduled for the 23rd.
This coming Friday.
This coming Friday.
Yes.
Well, that's
like in a couple of days.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. It's Tuesday.
But do you think we're going to keep it there?
I don't know. I mean, we can.
Do we want to connect with the town of Jay?
I don't. You want to give Dave a call, maybe?
To?
Does somebody
want
to call
yeah.
Dave?
Yeah, I'll connect with Dave and find out if they're okay with the way it is, if they think that we're going to get the turnout, or if he believes we should push it forward.
Okay.
Because I don't think we can act because we're
we
can
part
group.
Of it.
Yeah.
And I don't think we can drive it. But I think it's fair to say that we're recommending, based on what we know, that we postpone it until a later date to be set at our next.
Yep, our next water and sewer board.
I know Dave said, or Pat said there's one in the spring, right?
It's usually in the fall, right around this.
Right?
Like,
yeah.
That's what
every
I thought
weekend.
Too, but I asked her specifically, and I was told it was going to be spring.
No, it's supposed to be Friday.
I want to bring my kids.
Yeah, don't we all? Yeah.
Okay. All right, so I'll communicate with them, and then just sort of tell them that we're not really sure.
And so if we get it.
Yeah, go ahead. I was going to say, if they want to keep it on track for this weekend, I'm definitely good with doing my Saturday show.
Okay, all right.
Me too. And then it'll be on our website if it is.
Let me know as soon as you hear it.
Yeah.
It'll be on the website and Facebook. And,
yeah, we'll do.
You know.
Is that good?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Thank you.
Prove the minutes. August 20th.
I will make a motion to approve the minutes from our August 20th meeting.
And I will second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Orders.
While we're signing these, are you familiar with the Vermont Council of Rural Development?
Yes, they do the community visits.
So,
you guys
they did a community visit and a report for Jay, Westfield, and Troy in 2002. And I found this report by happenstance, and it's incredible to me to read issues that we're talking about today that were talked about in 2002, to include disbanding the village notation and having it all be a town.
That would be great.
But that was bad. So it's kind of interesting. But
at
so,
least you're not bargaining with three levels of municipal.
I'm sorry. I just think it's stupid. Yeah. That's all.
Yeah, we are thinking about it because the Chronicle last week, Westmore was on the front page and it had Vermont. And so I went to their website and I looked to see what they were doing. And, you know, if we have a community conversation, we're going to talk about it next month. But if we do this, we're not going to, you know, to do it. I mean, we're going to need to hire someone to come in and to manage.
And so they actually usually do it for free.
They do.
The challenge is they're limited. They, I think, do about 2 to 3 towns a year. And the way it usually works is there's a steering committee of key leaders who help, you know, maybe pre-identify what some of the top issues are. And it's a series of 3 visits. The first visit is like a meal, and they are really good at doing all the things to get really strong participation. It's like neutral, nonpartisan, and they, you know, bring the facilitation expertise. And you kind of walk through a series of questions. What's working? What are the gaps? What are the things that we could do to solve those problems? And it starts with that long list of, you know, 30, 40 things. And then there's a second and third meeting where you narrow it down to what are the 2, maybe 3 things that have the most energy and enthusiasm. And then the last meeting, they bring statewide partners, agencies, funders, experts to the table to help guide the conversation of, okay, if public safety, you know, outdoor recreation and transportation safety are the top issues. Folks break up and they say, okay, well, what are the next steps to address those issues? And who wants to raise their hand to be a part of doing that work on an ongoing basis? And someone volunteers to chair that group. And I've seen that work be really successful in communities. So Craftsbury, where I live, access to childcare was something that emerged from the VCRD visit that the town did many years ago. A group was formed and now exists, Craftsbury Saplings, a nonprofit childcare center where my kids went, because the community identified it as a priority. They mobilized people to work on it. They found grants. They've been, now we're looking at expanding. And so, you know, it. What I love is it brings a community together. The ideas come from the ground up, and then you know, help prioritize what's most important at that time, and then set it in motion. The downside, I would say, is they're there for those 3 visits, and they bring all these experts, and then it's kind of up to the community to carry it forward. I think, you know, some feedback is it would be nice if they could stay a little bit longer, or, you know, help circle back. I don't know if you guys were invited or considered applying for the Village Trust Initiative. So that was something that the Vermont Council on Rural Development is doing in partnership with the Preservation Trust. And I think USDA and communities can apply, and you go through a similar community visit process, but maybe you already have your own idea, and then it comes with some money and funding to help make it happen. The community visit does not, but it doesn't cost you anything. Highly recommend it.
Deal.
And I think you've got to get on the waiting list.
So
Terry and I did have the opportunity to speak with the person who would I don't know, would be the representative of that in this area.
Right.
And I'm sure they'd be happy to come to a meeting, pitch it, talk through, answer any questions.
So you mentioned waiting list. So the sooner you contact them, the better? Or do you have to have a firm commitment before they...
No, you can just start the discussion process, and I think, you know, it's both about their capacity, how much time, you know, who are they already thinking about for next year, but also there's a readiness factor, and it seems like, you know, you all might check a lot of the boxes of being at kind of the right size and scale, and maybe already having some issues bubble up in the community that you want to do more work on. So, yeah, I would strongly encourage you to reach out to them, invite them to a meeting, learn a little bit more about it, and consider moving forward. It's interesting that I think it's pretty rare that they would have done a couple of towns together.
That's what I thought too. I think, you know, this go around, we would be looking for our own. I think we have our
certain size and scale.
Yeah, we want,
you've got a long list of
people. We've got a lot of issues that we need to be looking at.
I can follow up with info about the Village Trust Initiative as well, because if you haven't looked at that, I would encourage you to explore.
Yeah.
So that's a congressional-directed spending request. They got $10 million, and it's going to be a multi-year process. The first round of expressing interest in being included has already happened, but there'll be additional years. So I'll follow up with that.
So you did meet the person that was...
Well, yeah, because the village did the historical
did
building.
Wanted to receive the, I think the name of the grant, Freeman, something Freeman Trust Grant, or Freeman Foundation, okay, grant to redo the outside of the Historical Society.
Oh my God, that looks great.
Doesn't it? Well, we had a good person doing that.
Looks
he got
great.
Hired by the girl when she came.
So that's what that was?
Yeah. It was amazing. It was amazing. Yeah, we got $25,000 grant to do all that, to get it looking good again, that nice building. And so while she was here doing the walkthrough, she mentioned that there was funding for, you know, Carol Fortier was part of it. She was the one that applied for the grant and came from Benson. And Benson was one of the towns that got a new store that had burned down or whatever. And the girl said that she, you know, they came here, spoke of that.
And then they get, the funds are refreshed, I suppose, annually, right? They have funds available. And
that's great.
So that's what she said.
Are we on to new business or other
business?
We're
on to other business.
So I would like to propose, instead of waiting until next month to really get into this in more detail, I'm wondering if we couldn't jumpstart this and, give somebody, I'll be very happy to reach out and have just exactly what Catherine was talking about, invite somebody to us to come and talk to us. So then that way, when we have the conversation, we'll have more information as to moving forward, instead of having our meeting and then having them come in November.
Yeah, that's fine,
You know, if we can, you know, jumpstart this, get them here, talk to us, kind of see what we can do and what our obligation is. I mean, not just financially, but more, yeah, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Would you be okay with that?
Yeah, sure. We're not doing anything else.
I know. I know. But I think
it's important.
It's good to move forward. Yep.
Are you okay? So.
Yes, in addition to our regular monthly meeting, if you set something up, I'll make it work. And even if that's...
Oh, no. She'll come to our next
meeting.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's the plan. So I'll just reach out. And I'll just say that, on behalf of the board, because that's how I usually do these sorts of things, and ask her to see if she can't come and at least provide us some information. What I would like to do is just...
Do you remember her name?
No, but Carol will not have it for sure.
Yeah.
She was in touch with her to come.
Okay. Yeah, I saw that.
Send an email connecting you with Jenna.
That'd be awesome. This girl was a derby, I think she's...
Nice.
Thank
you.
Yeah, I think your point is well taken. So,
thank you.
I have a question I want to ask you guys, the slick board. You know,
besides the money and the financial and taxes and everything like that, you guys personally that live in this town, and then you guys probably been here a long time, are you guys proud of what this town has come of?
I'm proud of a lot of people that live here, like you guys. And I don't think I ever want to lose sight of that. But I do think we have all of the other, you know, same concerns that we're not proud of, but it's the people like you and us, like Terry and I grew up here too. I walked by your grandmother's house when I was little and she was always sitting on her porch and she would and tap every kid on the head as you went down to Rolly's, you know, store, Mr. and Mrs. St. Marie's. So all of that I never want to lose sight of. So I would say, yes, I am proud of the village and
proud
most
of
the people that live here, and having lived and put roots down in Troy as well over my lifetime, I'm proud of both of those communities and collectively as one.
Right.
I'm speaking for myself. I can't speak for these guys.
Well, it's just because my mother, who lives with me, you know, she grew up here too. And I can, you know, because she sits on that front porch a lot, and she sees it. And when I'm out there, she'll tell me about things when she was young, where North Troy was never like this. It was a home, a family home. You could walk out, talk to your neighbor. You could walk and not be afraid that you're going to get hit or attacked. You could walk down the road. You had stores. You had lots of stuff. You know, and what do we have here? Yeah, we've got, you know, Dollar General, and we got 802, and we got Taco.
Killer Taco
there, dude. You know, but it's just, I'm not saying I'm not proud of this town. I just think we can do better.
Yeah, agree.
Yeah, and so that's what you work towards, right?
I just had to ask you guys, because you guys are new dudes on the select board, because I hate getting involved in township. My brother will tell you, I hate it. Okay? He works at the school, and he tells me things all the time, and I'm like, I don't care, Sean. But when it's starting to be right, when it's right across from my house, in 10 feet, okay, something's got to be done.
Yep.
I come to these meetings almost every single month. I'm usually the only person here. I have a nice, intimate conversation with my select board and my town clerk, and the only way that we get stuff changed, because, and I'm not trying to embarrass them, every single thing except for the dog stuff, I have brought up to them, all of it, believe me, I don't pull punches, I try not to speak a lot when there's more people in the room, especially an invited guest, but the only way that we are going to make our community better is the community has to be a community.
Yes.
I know more people in this community than most people, and I've only lived here for 4 years.
Oh my God, I know everybody because my brother works at the school, so, everybody knows who I am.
We gotta get off of our phones and come to rooms like this, go down to my little park and play horseshoes, say hi to your neighbors. That's how you improve a community. I've watched communities go to hell. I lived in Miami, I lived in Los Angeles. And I can tell you that what's going on here right now ain't really that dangerous. A lot of people aren't, nobody's really going to get hurt. It's turning into a hellhole.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't take care of it, it is going to get worse and end up like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the only way it will change, it's not them. It's
I know,
it's
it starts.
It's the 600 people that live in the village and the 1,800 people that live in the town.
Yeah.
And I was actually the guy who put the motion on the floor to yank the sheriff's funding. And I did that for a very specific reason. I noticed that we weren't getting what we were paying for. And where I come from, when they don't do their job, you fire them. So I made a big stake at a town meeting one year. And let me tell you, next year I saw the sheriffs more than I ever have. And I think that worked.
Well, I just like to be, come to go, go to work, do my thing, pay my taxes, and not get involved in town stuff.
Right, but if you don't get involved in town stuff,
well, I have to now because it's right in front of my house.
That's right. So so everybody,
everybody
has to get involved on some level. If we don't have a community, we won't have a community.
No, and we don't have a community. I'm sorry,
right.
We gotta move as long because we're taping the conversation here
for
our minutes. Right? Okay. So, any other business? No. Okay. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn the meeting.
So move.
All in favor?
Aye.
Our next meeting is October 15th. at 6:30.
Do we get to use this room again?
No, this is special.
I have nothing for the board.
Local health. Yeah. Okay. We're all done. Thank you, folks, for coming. We appreciate your input.
Thanks, Catherine.